WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
New reporting from WBEZ finds that Chicagoans are being discriminated against for using Section 8 vouchers, despite local laws that say you can't be denied a home because of your source of income. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We were joined by WBEZ Data Projects Editor Alden Lowry and Data Intern Ashley Soriano to learn more. Now, since this relates to Section 8 housing vouchers, Alden began with what they are exactly and who uses them.
Section 8 is essentially a federal rent subsidy program. The official title is called the Housing Choice Voucher Program. People who are income eligible are allowed to take a voucher with them to find a rental unit. Mm-hmm. And the voucher, the subsidy essentially helps take up the gap between what people can reasonably afford toward rent and what the actual rent cost is. Now, there's a limit in terms of how high the voucher, how high the subsidy can be, but generally it's a mechanism to allow low-income and extremely low-income individuals at least have an opportunity to live in a place that they may feel more comfortable living in.
I mean, sounds straightforward enough. So what do some landlords have against them? Why are they rejecting these housing vouchers?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask. For the purposes of what we were reporting on, there are some landlords who say they're not aware that they literally can reject the voucher. But generally speaking, the voucher program is one that landlords may not want to participate in because they don't want to abide by the inspection that comes with it. There's a little bit more rigidity in terms of how your property has to be maintained in order to be eligible for someone to use a voucher there. But there's also a stigma with regard to renting to low-income individuals. And so if you have a Section 8 voucher, you are, by definition, considered to be low-income. And as we've seen in Chicago many times, that the prospect of affordable housing in certain neighborhoods is not one that's met with a great deal of
warmth.
Yes, thank you.
Open arms.
Yes.
Yeah. List goes on.
So there is that. And then there are folks who've had experiences with renting to Section 8 tenants that have not gone well. And so that's a reputation, fairly or unfairly, that the Section 8 tenants often have.
Ashley, let's bring you in here. Talk more about how often this happens.
Yeah, so we know through looking at data last year, the Chicago Housing Authority and the Cook County Housing Authorities, they gave out about 54,000 housing vouchers in the Chicago area. So we know that many people were using vouchers to pay for rent. As for how much is it happening? Well, we do know through some recent lawsuits filed in the courts by some tenants and advocacy organizations that they're alleging that this source of income discrimination is happening, that they're being flat out told no for paying with a voucher. And in addition to that, there are some watchdog organizations such as the Human Rights Initiative, which filed some complaints with the state, the Illinois Department of Human Rights, and they filed 176 complaints in what they're calling the largest filing in state history of housing discrimination. But in their investigation, they look looked at, they found instances or claimed that they found instances of landlords outright saying no to some of their investigators who were posing as voucher holders.
Yeah.
We also did speak with voucher holders themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You talked to Chicago resident Laura Hasselquist. I want to play a little bit of her just discussing what it's like being a longtime voucher holder.
Oh, I've been told we don't take them hundreds of times. We don't take Section 8. It's very hard to find anybody, unless it's a full-on Section 8 building, to rent to you in a decent area.
What else can you tell us about Laura and her experience, Ashley?
Yeah, so Hasselquist has been paying for rent with vouchers for quite some time, and she shared her experience with me very openly. She currently rents in a Northside apartment building using project-based vouchers, but those specifically are for where federal rent subsidies are provided for units dedicated specifically for that. But in terms of voucher holders, she has paid for rent with those in the past, and she told us that she finds that it's harder in the North Side and what she says more affluent neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And that is supported with some of our data as well, with mapping out the zip codes and where voucher holders are located.
Yeah, Alden, to that end, I mean, I'm looking at your piece that's up online right now at WBEZ.org, and I can definitely see you've got it sort of in the main visualization that you've got down towards the middle of the piece. You've got a map. It's got the places that were tested, that rejected and accepted housing vouchers. You've outlined the ones that accepted the vouchers in green, and then red marks the ones that got rejected. And I'm just seeing a lot more red dots on the north side of the state here.
Yeah, this was data that that Ashley got from the folks at Human Rights Initiative. They did their investigation in 2024 over several months, and they essentially sent testers to nearly 200 properties in the Chicago area, most of them in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And the map kind of indicates by the location of the testing property if there was a rejection or an acceptance from the landlord or property manager.
And this is legal, Alden?
This is, it is not legal to say to someone that I won't rent to you because you're using a Section 8 voucher. Landlords who have other criteria for who they rent to or who they don't rent to, if folks don't meet those things, they are okay. But saying to someone, I won't accept your Section 8 voucher, is akin to saying, I won't rent to you because you're Black, or I won't rent to you because you have a disability, or I won't rent to you because you're LGBTQ+. So, mm-hmm. So that, by that, the state law makes it clear source of income is a protected class, just as those other categories are.
Ashley, I want to go back to Laura, the resident that we heard from earlier. She alluded to this. She said, as hard as it's been for her to get landlords to take her vouchers, she knows it's even harder for Black women. Let's listen.
When I was a white younger woman, I was still white, right? Now I'm a white middle-aged woman. You know, I can't even imagine being a Black mother with Black children trying to get my kids in a safer area. I can imagine the doors are just shut constantly.
Why are experts saying that this is happening?
Yeah, great question. Well, we spoke with advocacy organizations and from State Representative LaShawn Ford about this issue on race. And they are saying that, you know, Representative Ford himself, he said that source of income discrimination is, quote, a targeted opportunity for discrimination. He connected it and linked it to the city's history of racial segregation and racial discrimination. Now, from the tenant perspective, Hasselquist, she is white, but she shared with me her experience in her biracial son's experience. She told me that she witnessed her biracial son facing racial discrimination by her landlord because he's half Black and he has long dreadlocks, and she felt that that factored into played into her holding a voucher as well. And she also, you know, shared that but it probably is harder for Black mothers and Black children, yeah. Black voucher holders. Some of the lawsuits that were filed, there was one in April, four of the defendants are Black women.
Hmm. Anything more to add to that, Alden?
Yeah, I would say one of the things, particularly for people who are in the housing industry, housing providers, they have a familiarity with prospective tenants who have Section 8. They know what the demographics look like. CHA data shows that 89% of voucher holders in Chicago are Black. I imagine the percentages are a little less in suburban Cook County, but probably very close to those numbers. So when you're in this business, you know that a voucher is coming with a Black tenant. Mm-hmm. And so even if you don't see as the testing that was done here, they didn't actually come face-to-face with the testers. The testers were reaching out over text messages and essentially saying, you know, I have a voucher, is that okay? And still 37% of those folks who were contacted said we don't accept vouchers. But by saying you have a voucher in the Chicago market, it's essentially a calling card saying you're an African American. Mm-hmm.
And so we're clear from that landlord standpoint, Alden, do landlords have to take Section 8 vouchers?
Landlords cannot deny someone solely because they're using a voucher to pay rent.
Okay.
So make that clear. But if a tenant comes to a landlord and they meet all other requirements and the landlord says, I won't accept your Section 8 voucher, like I said, that's essentially telling that person, I'm not going to rent to you because you're a member of a protected class. Mm-hmm. If that's your source of income, you're a member of a protected class.
And there's an issue, too, of timing here. Isn't there? Because, I mean, vouchers, they don't last forever, do they, Ashley?
Correct. There is an expiration with these vouchers. They have between 60 and 120 days to find somewhere to live. And, you know, everybody, we all have to live somewhere.
Yeah. And, just knowing the apartment hunt in general, it can be stressful.
Yeah.
60 days is not a lot of time, right?
Without a doubt, it's not a lot of time. And I think that's one of the things that contributes to the inability of voucher holders to kind of advocate for themselves because if they get turned away, their inclination is just to keep looking for a place to live because the clock is running.
Right.
And so they don't have time to necessarily sit down and file a complaint or to talk to an attorney or things like that. So a lot of these problems kind of go unnoticed and unreported in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if I can add, I heard from Hasselquist as well. I asked her, you know, she's a longtime voucher holder, and she said that she's been told no hundreds of times. Have you ever thought about going to court, filing a complaint? What can be done here? And she said, no, really, people just keep their mouths shut. There's a level of shame with it as well, she said.
Mm. So if someone suspects that they're being discriminated against based on their source of income or based on the fact that they are a voucher holder, what can they do, Ashley?
Yeah, they can file a housing discrimination complaint with the city of Chicago or with the state of Illinois. They may also choose to sue in court, or in other cases, they may partner with an advocacy organization who can help kind of mediate on their behalf to keep things behind the scenes and see what can be done here.
Mm-hmm. Last word, Alden?
You know, this is an issue that I think is incredibly important. I mean, I think we've said as a city and as a society that low-income individuals should not be kind of clustered in certain neighborhoods.
Yeah.
If you look at a map, one of the maps that we provide, both in 2015 and 2024, it's very clear that the vast majority of voucher holders live in African-American communities on the south and west sides of the city and in the south suburbs. So if we tore down public housing to say, hey, look, we don't want to concentrate low-income renters into certain neighborhoods effectively by not allowing voucher holders to use those vouchers across the kind of rental spectrum in Chicago and other places, we are kind of essentially concentrating them in communities where we say we don't want to do that.
So. There's definitely a message being sent, for sure. We'll leave it there for now. That's WBEZ Senior Data Projects Editor Alden Lowry and Data Intern Ashley Soriano. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To get the latest happenings in Chicago, make sure to never miss an episode by subscribing to the show wherever you listen or visiting us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.